You're listening to Business Talkers FM. My name is Wayne Buckler, and joining me today is Christine Smythe. Now, Christine's the president of the Queensland Law Society. Christine, welcome to Talkers FM.
Thank you, Wayne, and good afternoon, listeners.
Now, Christine, for the benefit of those who don't know what the Law Society does, can you fill us in about its role?
Absolutely. The Queensland Law Society is the peak representative body for legal practitioners in the state of Queensland. We represent the solicitors branch of the legal profession, and we have over 12,000 solicitor members. Part of our role is multifaceted, so we represent the interests of solicitors. We also have an advocacy arm where we advise government on legislative development. So we have something in the order of 27 legislative policy committees who assist government on the improvement of laws in Queensland. So for this year alone, I've signed off over 100 parliamentary submissions. We also work with the community to advocate for important legal issues. So much of earlier this year, I did a lot of advocacy around funding for community legal centres and access to justice for community legal centres. And we were very successful in the outcomes with that, with the federal government announcing reversals to the proposed cuts that they were proposing. We also have a role in speaking up for the courts. Because of our system of separation of powers, the courts must be independent. They don't have the capacity to defend attacks on them themselves. So our role is, as officers of the court, because that's what all solicitors are, is to defend the court systems and the way the courts work.
Now, Christine, just for me and my ignorance, when you say solicitors, you're not including barristers in that?
No, I'm not. Queensland has a separate profession. In other states, the profession is fused. So solicitors in Queensland are the people that have direct contact with clients. So we have direct contact. Clients engage us to represent their interests and act on their behalf. We give them a client's advice across any range of law. We conduct litigations or negotiations or mediations or provide advice to clients about areas of law that they're seeking advice about. If a matter requires another eye, then you can either engage another law firm or a barrister. So that's the difference with us.
I'm pleased that I asked the question now, because if I was confused, I'm sure there must have been some other people who are confused. I can't be the only one.
No, you're not. No, it's interesting because barristers were originally representatives for the Crown way back when the earth was still cooling. We had an old system of the king being the ruler of all things. The king had representatives, and those representatives were barristers. And what happened was the people didn't have any representatives. And so the solicitors branch developed as representatives of the people. Now, that was several hundred years ago, and things have morphed and changed. And in effect, we still, to a large degree, represent the interests of the people, particularly the Queensland Law Society. Queensland doesn't have what we would call an upper house. So when the Parliament of the day is developing laws, we cast our eye over those laws to see what those laws might be, and we make recommendations as to how they might be improved, especially where there can be some unintended consequences.
Now, Christine, do members of the public interact with the society at all?
Yes, they do. We have lots of members of the public interacting with the society. They may come to us because they're seeking a referral for a solicitor to assist them in a particular legal problem. They may come to us because we provide on-site services, for example, mediation. So at the Queensland Law Society, we have mediation rooms, so they can utilise our services there and just generally get some guidance and assist the members of the public in where they might go to get their concerns addressed.
You're listening to Business Radio Talkers FM. My name is Wayne Buckler, and I'm in conversation with Christine Smythe, who is the president of the Queensland Law Society. And Christine, one of the things that's had our focus of attention lately has been the announcement by some of the bigger e-commerce providers, particularly Amazon, that they're putting physical resources and warehousing in Australia, which will have the effect of dramatically shortening their delivery time. Do you have a view about how that's likely to impact on life, the universe in general, I guess on business and on society?
I think we now live in a society where it's referred to as digital disruption. I prefer the term artificial innovation. We tend to be scared a bit by the whole concept of robots taking over our lives. And I don't really like to see it that way. My preference is to see it more positively. And I think it's a tool. I see it as a tool and I see it as an opportunity. Yes, there will be negative consequences, as with all types of developments. And that's the sort of thing we saw in when the Industrial Revolution was occurring. We're in the midst of an internet revolution and it moves at a great pace. And that pace does tend to frighten people, because one thing that human beings prefer more than anything is certainty and stability. And some of these new developments in the IT sphere do create some instability. But at the same time, they create great opportunities. And I think it's how you approach it which will give you the better outcome. So, for example, Amazon accounts for one-third of all US e-commerce sales in America. And that's quite astonishing. And yes, it will have an impact. Just like the large supermarkets had an impact on all the smaller business operators when they open up their range of business activities back in the late 80s and early 90s. I tell people about the bread wars. You remember the bread wars?
Yes, I do.
You do. That's fantastic, because very few people remember the bread wars. And the argument went, oh, we don't want the supermarket selling bread because what they will do is they will drop the price and everyone will start buying that bread and all the bakeries will close down and then they will confine the range of products. And everyone went, no, no, that's not going to happen. And yes, it did happen. But there's been a full swings and rounds. So you had that experience. But what we're finding is with people are moving now back to your artisan type bread houses. So I think it's about being aware that there are cycles of events and adjustment processes. And no doubt, I'm sure that Amazon would be, their move to Australia would be making some of the supermarkets a little nervous right about now, because one of the things that they do is that they provide a fresh grocery delivery service. And certainly, I think that that would have an impact on how we get some of our groceries in Australia.
Yes, it'll be an interesting time. It's been of interest to me in the retailers that I've spoken to. They haven't seen it as being a particularly threatening or disruptive thing at all. So I'm quite interested to see how it pans out in Australia.
Yeah, look, we have different types of service providers everywhere. They're a service provider. They're a conduit. They're connecting suppliers with the community. That's what they're doing. I expect Australians will embrace the arrival of Amazon. Australians typically are very excited when new technologies come. And I speculate, only from my own perspective, that the reason for that is we're such a diverse nation. We live in faraway, far-flung places. And what technology has enabled us to do is connect more readily with the rest of the world and each other. And so Amazon is a product delivery platform, and them opening up warehouses here in Australia is simply a means of improving the delivery of that product.
We'll look forward to their arrival, Christine, and see how it plays out. It's been lovely being able to chat with you today. Now, for people who are interested in getting in touch with the Queensland Law Society, is there a website they can go to or a phone number they can call?
Absolutely. We too, the Queensland Law Society, have embraced technology. and there are many ways that you can get in touch with us. We have qls.com.au is where our website is. We are also on Facebook, Queensland Law Society Facebook. We're also on LinkedIn, so you've got QLS LinkedIn. We're also on Twitter at QLD Law Society. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn. All you've got to do is pump us into Google and there we are. So, you know, lawyers also are embracing the online environment as well. And I think that's an essential thing. There's a lot of talk out there about how robots are going to take over lawyers. And certainly technology has improved the delivery of legal services insofar as it's made it cheaper to produce documents. But I'd like to make the point that lawyers are not in the business of supplying products. We are trusted advisors. What makes solicitors so very different to any other professional is that they are, in fact, an officer of the court. There is a very big distinction between someone who has a mere law degree and someone who is admitted to the Supreme Court in this state and has a license to practice law. And we're seeing the online environment impact and affect us in that respect. Only very recently, a fellow in Western Australia was providing, he got on Gumtree, this fellow, and he offered on Gumtree to assist people in producing their court documents and assist people in drafting them, and even said that he would go along to court and give them some help in court. The only problem is that this fellow was charging for those services, a reasonable sum, quite a handsome sum, and he was actually breaching the law. And the law is that only a registered practicing Australian legal practitioner can give legal advice. And so this fellow was taking advantage of those people who are naive and aren't aware that it is in fact illegal to offer legal services when you're not a registered Australian legal practitioner. And so this fellow, his defence was, oh, I had a disclaimer on my website. Well, that's not enough either. And the court fined him the maximum fine in Western Australia of $20,000. He took it on appeal and he lost the appeal. Here in Queensland, if someone does that here in Queensland, the fine is actually in the order of $38,000 or they run a risk of 2 years imprisonment. Now, why is that a concern for people? Now, the reason for this is that lay people, even if you've got a law degree, if you try to do this, then what happens is solicitors can provide something that non-lawyers or lay people can't provide, and that is a right to confidentiality is guaranteed. The right to legal professional privilege is guaranteed. And most importantly, everyone makes mistakes. It doesn't matter how perfect you are. In fact, I say to my staff, you can't be perfect. What you do is strive for excellence. But everyone makes mistakes. When a lawyer makes a mistake, then the client is covered by insurance. When a layperson doing this type of work makes a mistake, the client does not have any access to insurance because they can't get insurance because it would be illegal for them to be doing it. So that's a really critical aspect. Not only that, despite what many in the community might like to promulgate, particularly parliamentarians, that lawyers don't have ethics, we do. We're bound by a code of ethics, and we abide by those ethics quite strenuously. There are a few people who every now and then run the gauntlet, but my view is that the sins of the few ought not be visited upon the many. In every industry, you have an errant person. But by and large, most solicitors abide by their codes of ethics, and if they don't, they face strict professional conduct rulings, which can make them exposed to being struck off and not being able to practice as a solicitor again. These are not consequences that fall to an average person, even with a mere law degree, that a client has access to, simply because the person they're dealing with is not a registered Australian legal practitioner. So I think that's quite an interesting development that's happening out there, lay people offering advice online.
Yes, it is, and we should maybe talk about it another day, because it occurs to me that the internet's also made the law itself much more accessible with some websites that have, you know, full legislation on them, and maybe people are a bit tempted to do it yourself. So we might schedule another chat and talk about that, Christine.
I always say, absolutely, there are lots of forums where there's self-representation is available, and it's important to have that available because it's an access to justice issue. But I also say to people, I can build my own house, but I sure as eggs wouldn't want to live in it.
Yes, yes. My pet expression is, you could buy a scalpel for $1.95, but it doesn't make you a brain surgeon. Christine, it's been lovely chatting with you. We are running out of time, so I'll have to run away. But
Thank you
very much for your time, and I'll look forward to chatting to you again. It's been a pleasure getting your insights on some of those things that are happening.
You're welcome, and thank you, Wayne, and thank you, listeners.
So if you've just missed my conversation with Christine Smyth, the President of the Queensland Law Society, the good news is we have a transcript on our website. We also have an audio archive on both YouTube and iTunes, and you can catch up with everything that Christine had to say at either of those. They're available online at www.talkers.fm.